So here we are 1 week after Easter. How has this week been for us? And how are we this day, exactly 1 week after Easter? Is the excitement of Easter still in the air? Or has it begun to fade? Has it vanished altogether? I ask these questions because in our text we find the disciples again gathered together exactly 1 week after Easter. Before dealing fully with how we feel, let us begin to understand how these disciples of Christ are doing 1 week after Easter. Our text from John gives us a glimpse back to the Easter day, to the splendid revelation of God's glory of Christ's resurrection. The disciples are gathered in fear behind a locked door, and Jesus appears to them. And when he does, he not only reveals his resurrection, but he also breathes an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them. Now, for some reason, Thomas is absent from other disciples, so he does not see Jesus that night. But others share the wonderful news. We have seen the Lord. But what proof do they bring? They bring only their words. John, earlier in his gospel, has already described Thomas for us as a courageous pessimist and as an honest skeptic. It's not surprising that his response is, "I will not believe unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands." He must have been from the Missouri section of the Holy Land, the Show Me State. 1 week after Easter, the very same room where Jesus appeared before, the disciples are sitting in excitement. However, I find it quite intriguing that they are still behind the locked doors, but we can imagine them sitting in excitement. And we can picture Thomas, probably sitting with his arms crossed and ankles crossed and brow furrowed. The stage is set. 10 disciples who know and wait anxiously, and one disciple who doubts, who only has the words of others to go by. I think it is far too easy for us to judge Thomas. I'm convinced that it is easy to make him into a straw man and blow him over with the verse, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." These words must have pierced Thomas's heart. And some may call it a day here and go home. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And that is a powerful blessing. Yet if each of us were honest, we would see that Thomas is not the loneliest Christian ever. I would venture that every one of us at some point has walked side by side with Thomas in a state of doubt. It is in our very nature to doubt what we cannot see. It might as well have been us sitting there with the disciples, arms crossed and ankles crossed and in a frown. But are we able to trust? Are we able to believe without seeing? Yes, Thomas doubted. And yet, which of us can claim the right to throw the first stone at him? Which of us has never had the smallest bit of doubt? Two brothers were getting ready to boil some eggs to color for Easter, and one said, "I'll give you a dollar if you let me break 3 of these raw eggs on your head." Said to the older one, "Promise," they asked the younger, "promise." The older boy broke 2 eggs over his younger brother's head, and still standing, for the gooey mess would get all over himself, the little boy asked, "When is the 3rd egg coming?" "It's not coming," replied the other brother. "If I broke the 3rd, that would cost me a dollar." At times it is difficult to trust others, and we can have assurance that we can trust our Heavenly Father, unlike our human experience. I remember When I was little and playing in the great playground in Turkey, I had this fear of heights. And when I would climb up to the top of the playground, my father would always say, well, just come down. If you fall, I'll catch you. And somehow I would get to the top, and I would cry at the top of the thing because I would never trust that he would actually catch me. And that showed itself in the adulthood. And I became a priest, you see. But the assurance that when others won't be there, that God would catch us is based on the fact that God's promises are trustworthy. We know that we have surely let down our relatives, our friends, but we can have assurance in the trust of our Heavenly Father. Perhaps you're just like Thomas and struggle to believe, wishing that you could receive a first-hand revelation. And fortunately for Thomas and for us, that is not the end of the text. Thomas is not left sitting there doubting. The text now turns to a wonderful message of grace. Jesus appears in the room with all the other disciples, but he directly addresses Thomas. Jesus knew what that last week must have been like for Thomas. Just ponder that for a moment, the only disciple left out, the only disciple with nothing but the words of others to go by, the one disciple, most like us today, Thomas, the one left out, spent that entire week wrestling with his doubts. Now, Jesus does not lecture him or chastise him or discipline him for doubting. Instead, Jesus gives him peace and his mercy, so that he can move beyond his doubt. And now, what a marvelous event is about to happen. It is at this moment that something new is about to occur. Throughout the book of John, Jesus is Lord to his disciples, to Mary Magdalene, and to all of his followers. And now, and only now, Thomas the doubter proclaims, "My Lord and my God." He makes it his own. He gets it. Not only does he get it, but he understands it in a deeper and much more profound way. Like Thomas, there are times we will be challenged. There are times we will doubt. But the best of our news is this, that God meets us where we are. God does not let us sit there forever, arms crossed, ankles crossed, and brow furrowed. In our time of doubt, we will search, we will examine, we will question. And when we do, we will gain a stronger and deeper understanding of God and our relationship with Him. Remember God's promise in Scripture: seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. This is an eternal promise that God has given us. A promise that we can hold on without any doubt. 1 week after Easter. Can we picture ourselves in that crowded little room, door locked, sitting with the disciples? And where do you sit? Do you sit with Thomas as one seeking? Or do you sit with the others, still excited from the week before? But perhaps you sit on your own, neither excited nor doubting. Now picture Jesus as he stands before us, inviting us to see the nails and the prints in his hand, to touch his side. And we slowly hear, as proclaimed by Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet you have believed. Friends, you are blessed, and you are blessed to be a blessing. Amen and amen. Thanks be to God.